This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
What is the purpose of me receiving an education if, for one, it's not of quality, and two, I can't even focus on learning because I now have to focus on whether or not I'm in an environment that is healthy? Are you kidding me? This type of behavior, it comes from lack of love, lack of discipline, not necessarily in that order, because when you don't have an environment of love and you're told that you can't do this and you ain't this and you ain't that, and then you don't have anyone that provides you structure or accountability, this is what happens.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio at The Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken. Dr. Ken, thank you so much for joining us. We're so glad you could be here.
You know, I'm so tired of your, you know, pseudo.
I mean, you know, us little folks.
Your pseudo faux condescending, bashing, gaslighting comments about me not being here. But when you decide to go, where were you? Where were you?
Oh, please.
Brazil? Was it Brazil? See, she stopped talking.
Dr. Ken, London? You are literally bringing up Black history to Colombia in February. It is now April. You have, you know, okay, let me say it better.
Look.
I missed your absence.
I missed you too. But it's a scab.
Yeah, I missed you during your absence.
It's a scab on my soul. I missed
Truth Nation, Dr. Ken, his schedule is so, y'all think I'm busy. He's just like, yeah.
Oh, it's about to get stupid in June. It's going to be.
So this will be The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas.
It'll be The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas in June.
And that's exactly how I'm going to introduce the show as well.
July, exactly. I should be good, but then you'll probably be gone somewhere. August, I'm just, you know.
Truth Nation, I just want you to know that even when I'm out here in the trenches, I prioritize this show and I make sure that I am still giving you the best that I got.
I would call you out so bad, but you know what? I respect your privacy. I respect your privacy.
Giving you the best that I've got. All right, let's get into this unfiltered truth. How are you, Dr. Ken? How you doing?
Who told you you could sing?
I don't need anybody to tell me I can do anything. I can do anything I want to do.
Let me ask this question.
I know I can't be what I want to be.
And now y'all see why she was
if I work hard at it.
Now y'all see why she was by herself because she started singing. I left. Can I have the first plane out? Where's it going? Istanbul. Okay.
Anywho.
It's been a crazy couple, like, weeks. It's been a lot of stuff going on in the good old US of A.
And I can't keep up with the tariffs. One minute they're coming, the next minute they're not, the next minute they are, the next minute. It's kind of like Dr.
That's the kid. It's coming and going and coming and going.
It's kind of like President Trump is playing the psych game. Like, psych.
Well, at least
made you look.
At least he'll stay awake, unlike the other guy, and do it.
Tell us how you really feel, Dr. Ken. Well, speaking of changes, we witnessed, and I know we haven't had a chance to discuss this, we witnessed one of the most historical moments in this country where Senator Cory Booker delivered, who, by the way, if you are not familiar with Senator Cory Booker, he is one of the most visible Black leaders in Congress. I would go as far as to say he's one of the most visible leaders in Congress.
I would call him right now the only visible leader in Congress.
And I would agree with you.
Even more than Hakeem Jeffries.
Okay, I'll say it this way. I feel that Hakeem Jeffries is more visible in the House of Representatives on Capitol Hill. But in terms of the impact, I definitely believe that Senator Cory Booker has more impact. Because that's a thing that the Democratic Party, they need to go back. That should be one of their areas of focus as they're rebranding.
We need to talk about
their
that
party.
Too. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
We need to talk about that too. This whole Democratic Party leadership.
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, as they're rebranding, they definitely need to have at the top of the radar intentions versus impact.
How about and? Intentions
and impact.
Like it's
Well, see, that's the thing, Dr. Ken. If they would have led from that mindset, then we wouldn't have to go to now intention and impact.
Right.
Because it always should be, hey, based on this decision that we're going to make, how's that going to impact the voters? How's that going to impact the Democratic Party? How's it going to impact America as a whole?
Right.
They failed to do that. However, Senator Cory Booker just shattered the Senate record. Let's now go up to the Senate because we were talking about the House.
Right.
For the longest speech, which is what's so crazy, Dr. Ken, is that the record was previously held by none other than Strom Thurmond.
One of the who most was, hated.
He, when I tell y'all, if I hate black people.
Wait. Black and white. You could be talking about anything and somebody could go, Strom Thurmond. Everybody's face would stop. Republican, Democrat, black, white, like what?
You know how we talk about abolitionists?
Right.
He was the civil rights abolitionist. He wants nothing to do with integration, civil rights for non-white civilians. He was, and I'll just say it like this, he was anti-civil rights.
The guy was a racist.
Epitome.
In the purest form, which is odd because his
and had
personal
black
life,
children.
His personal life, and I mean, they loved him to death and he loved them to death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what family do for you, so.
So just to kind of set the tone here, Dr. Ken, and Truth Nation, because I really want to make sure that we are informed about why this was so historical. In 1957, yep. Strom Thurmond spoke for 24 hours and some change to block. Okay, this is how racist he was. This man stood and spoke to the country for 24 plus hours to block the Civil Rights Act that was about to go into effect maybe 8 years later under LBJ. In 2025, I am so excited to report that Senator Booker used the same method, used the same tool, this being the marathon speech, to not deny rights, to call for justice, equity, and unity. And I just thought the irony of that was, when you talk about poetic justice, Dr. Ken, that was poetic justice. How'd you feel about it?
I was never really, and when I say this in quotes, because for me, you know what a fanboy is, right? So I was never a fan of Cory Booker because I didn't really know him. You know, I'm a fan of the governor of Maryland and, you know, fan of Martin Luther King and Du Bois because I was able to read and see. I haven't seen much about him. That kind of changed it because it takes some moxie. It takes some stones to be able to stand up and go, you know what, I'm going to talk. And talk and only have a glass of water and sip from it a couple times and go. But I think what might have been lost is his message. I think what people
really
need to do, that's what I'm saying. I think what people need to do is go back and read through his message once again. Because people weren't up 24 hours, they weren't listening the whole time, and there were some gems in there that people need to hear and need to listen to about the future of America, the future of black America. You know, I think one of the good things about it is that he spoke to black people, and he was unabashed about it. He was unashamed. I loved it.
I definitely loved it. Now, to your point, I did not watch the entire 24-hour, 18-minute speech, 18 or 19 minutes. But based on what I did hear, you know, what I really appreciated about Senator Booker's remarks is that he went beyond the policies. he really spoke to, from a cultural standpoint in this country, what needs to be corrected. And he presented it in a way to where every American could, you could understand what he was saying. And what I loved about his presentation is that it was like, we are not only just reclaiming our time, we are reclaiming our narrative. And it really demonstrated, and quite frankly, we needed to see this, the power of not only the Senate, but also the Democratic Party. Because for the past 5 months, it's the reputation of the Democratic Party being powerful has been shattered. So it was definitely, for lack of better words, a torchbearer moment. Like, it was like the Olympics, like when Muhammad Ali carried the torch during the opening ceremonies. That's kind of how I felt, because now I'm like, okay, there's been so much obstruction of justice over the past 5 months under this new administration. And you even have a president who is a convicted felon. And so I needed someone, whether Republican or Democrat, to remind me of what this country stands for.
That is true. And so I think what's going to happen is we're going to start seeing more people get the, you know, have the gravitas to stand up and speak their mind. But I think this time around, instead of the anger and the vitriol and the screaming and the, that you do it in a way that people can understand. You know, give it to us in chunks. You know, teach us as we go. This, you need to don't know this. These are all the things, but okay, now you need to know this. Now you need to know this. Okay, now we're at the end. Here's what we're going to do. And everybody's on the same page. The Democratic Party is so fractured and broken that no one has come up with a plan. And it's not like you haven't been here before. These, you know, these things happen over time.
So I have a question for you, Dr. Ken. We come back because you just provoked something. Is Senator Booker's marathon speech, should we be considering this as, whether it's from a Democratic lens or from an American citizen lens, a victory? Or does this signal a deeper frustration with today's political gridlock?
Okay.
I want to put that question out for you, Dr. Cannon. When we come back, right, let's just dive into it. Because, again, like, if this is something that we need to dissect further into your previous comment, like chunks, as we're doing that, are we doing this as a way of saying, hey, this was a major win for the Democratic Party, for the country? Or is this something that, as we continue to discuss Senator Cory Booker's marathon speech, again, just another trigger of why our political gridlock is just, I'm going to use the word, messed up?
All right.
This is The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. When we come back, we're going to hear Dr. Ken's response. Stay locked in.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Somewhere around here, because she was asking me all these questions and raking me over the coals. I want to know. So in answering to your questions, in the previous segment, you were asking me questions about what all that was.
Does it put the Democratic Party, or even rejuvenate the hope? Was this a victory for the Democratic Party, or was his speech, in fact, an either further and deeper representation of our frustration with today's political gridlock?
You ready?
I'm ready.
Because I don't always have to be a contrarian. You know, sometimes I can agree, and you know I do. But then when you threw out that, because you're not a contrarian. However, this time I'll be a contrarian and say neither. I think it was a step in a strategic plan on behalf of Cory Booker to position himself to where he can run for president, or at least be one of the nominees to run for president.
How many times has he ran for president already? Like twice?
I think he started, but it wasn't really a, like, I don't know if he ginned up any real fundraising, things of that nature. I mean, yes.
Well, I think the second time he did, because then they were putting him with Rosario Dawson. You know, he had a girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, but he is from New Jersey. So anyway. So, but with that, you're starting to see the East Coast, Northeast Democratic Party is going to have trouble because America doesn't want, you know, elite Northeast, the Boston crowd, the New York, New Jersey, they don't want that. Pennsylvania, the Bidens, they're trying to get away from it. If you think about it, that's the first place, you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton moved when he got out of the White House. Poop, they moved to New York because that's where the power
built a whole office in Harlem.
In Harlem. That's where the power is at that time for the Democratic Party. Well, now middle America is saying, no, we don't want that. We want what we want. The Democrats in Wisconsin said, we want voter ID on the Constitution in the state of Wisconsin, and we want a liberal court, like the same group of people. So people are starting to recognize their power in voting. And I don't know if somebody from
why do you think that is? Why are we now recognizing our power?
Because we actually exercised it. We actually said, you know, because you remember growing up, people said, well, I'm not going to vote because my vote ain't going to count. It's so many people voting, it's just not going to matter. Well, now we found out 2-3 people, it matters. 10
okay,
people,
so
it matters.
Let me ask you this, because that's a great point to my next question. If people are now using their power,
right,
voting.
Right.
More so than they did before.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset has shifted. It's no longer, well, my vote doesn't count. It's, oh, no, I'm going to the polls. And I'm glad you said that because I completely agree. Numbers don't lie. And so the numbers are definitely confirming what you're sharing. Now, how did we get to that point where our mindset shifted? Mm-hmm. How did we get there? Because once you answer that question, Dr. Ken, then I think that this conversation today, as we unfilter the truth, can identify the root cause of why we are now rewriting the rules
right.
entirely. Like, this new administration is rewriting the rules entirely. So maybe the GOP mm-hmm. got ahead of what you just said
right.
for the Republicans.
Correct. Absolutely. Yes. So people are screaming and hollering and they're going around and, oh my God, it's terrible. He's taking over the country. He's not. The president of the United States of America has always had that power since its inception in 1776 or whenever they ratified it, the Constitution. The problem is Democrats had an opportunity to use it to make America better for black people, and they've never used it. So now it's exposed.
Okay, now wait a minute.
All the things that Democrats could have done as a president to say, I'm signing an executive order that schools have to do this and we have to include this and we have to have classes on this and we have to include this in our. He could have done all that and not one president did it.
So if Democratic Party traditionally has been known to be the party for the people, including people of color, i.e. black people, then why did they not? So let me just go ahead and speak my truth. People will treat you the way you allow them to treat them.
Wait. 5 minutes and 17 seconds. We need to take that and just replay it. So when people ask questions, well, uh-huh. why didn't black people get treated the way people let them? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. And that's why I'm not going to say that. On air. That's something I'll save on our during break. No, because, you know, we live in a society now where
you want to keep your job. You're
no, right. it wasn't going to be detrimental to my employment status here at Good Karma Brands, but because nowadays, especially when you work in the media like you and I do, you know, it's kind of like when you send a text message and the person on the receiving end is like, what? And you're like, no, that's not what I meant. And so we're living in a society now where people will put their own meanings on yep. what you said and they'll take it out. Yep. So, yeah. So let me go back to what Have you ever seen that skit between what's his name? Peele, the comedians, Keenan and Peele. Is that their names?
I don't know. Key and
Peele. Yeah, but they have a great comedy skit about how people misinterpret text messages and how the intended meaning is totally misinterpreted. But anyway, back to my point with the Democratic Party. They have treated black people the way they have treated black people only because we have allowed them to. We've forgiven over and over and over and over again. We have not challenged enough. And the numbers show that we voted. We showed up for Kamala. Black folks showed up for Kamala. So I don't want anyone to say that black people are the reason why the election was lost by the Democratic Party. No. And I refuse to even entertain that with a comment. The Democratic Party failed America. They failed this country. They failed especially black people because, again, we have continuously been supportive, forgiving over and over again. And so now it becomes a matter of how do we balance the need for power in both the House and the Senate, along with the urgent demand for progress in our own community, Dr. Ken. And I'm saying it that way because on one hand, as an American who loves this country, you know, I don't necessarily wear red, white, and blue every day, but I am very patriotic. You know, I believe in the country because, quite frankly, my ancestors built this country. I believe in independence. I believe in freedom. But I'm also, based on what I'm reading and hearing in the headlines, I'm concerned about my civil rights. I'm concerned about my ability to thrive in this country because I work hard. I'm not looking for handouts. I don't mind working. I don't mind also reaping the benefits of my labor. I want my children to have access to everything that is associated with being an American, just like any other parent wants for their children.
Right.
But I also am conflicted because traditionally, up until maybe
two presidential the cycles last, ago.
Let's just say my political party affiliation has had some
has wavered
auditing.
Yes.
Some assessing.
Good answer.
Thank you.
That was the best politically correct answer about politics I have ever heard in my life.
Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you. I receive that. So in all seriousness, like how do we navigate? Because black people, especially in this country, we are rewriting a lot of the way that we show up.
Right.
Both as an American citizen, as a taxpayer, both local and state, as a citizen, but then we're also still trying to figure out how do we insert ourselves in this political gridlock. It's a lot.
Yeah, but the problem is we keep trying to insert ourselves back into the Democratic Party. And that doesn't mean you need to be Republican. But at some point, when people have jacked you over and over and over and over at every single level of government, from federal down to the school board in your neighborhood, and you still... Oh, well, you know, maybe they'll do better next time. They haven't, and they won't. Because as long as the majority don't look like us, they won't. They just won't.
I'm going to have to just push back a little bit on that comment.
Because, I don't care.
Well, no, just a little bit. It's not everything I agree with. It's this only thing I just want to push back on. As someone who travels, just like you, and you know we have a plethora of associates across the world.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm engaging in conversations with associates or colleagues, peers, not necessarily friends, about where are you at right now? I'm just going to keep it real. This is the truth unfiltered. A lot of us are going independent.
No, absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely.
I'm saying post November the 5th.
Correct. Correct.
And especially, you know, during the first, you know, 45 to 50 days of the Trump administration,
right?
That number keeps going up. And so I'm thinking, Dr. Ken, let me ask you this question too. Do we need a black independent leader?
Yes.
Independent party leader?
Yes. But the problem is, everybody keeps steering us back to the Democratic Party. If you've not done anything for us over the past 60 years, and somebody said, well, yes, they have. I said, then why aren't we better?
Ooh. Ooh.
Why isn't education better? Why did you vote in a Jill Underly who told you she wants to get rid of choice so that your kids have to be stuck in a bad public school? And then I'm going to change the name of when your child really isn't doing well so you won't know it. And those low-educated parents who go, well, your child is showing proficiency. No, you're not showing proficiency. You haven't reached it, so that means you're below average. We change those words so that we soften the blow, because then by the time you get to high school, it's not going to matter. And when you graduate, you can't go to college and you can't even do the trades because you don't have the mental acumen to pass the math test. It's set up like this, and we continue to do it, and we continue to vote in people because we put politics in front of family and community. And so now we're stuck.
We put politics in front of family and community because we have been brainwashed to believe that in order to have community and in order to have, you know, a high quality living for our family, we must vote Democrat. Now, going back to your earlier point, I have another question for you. So Senator Cory Booker, and he's out of the state of Jersey or Maryland?
New Jersey.
I just want to say Maryland. He's Jersey. Okay. Jersey.
You're talking about Mr. Moore.
The governor of Maryland, yes. Wes Moore. Okay. So Senator Cory Booker is 55 years old. He'll actually be 56 on the 27th of this month.
He can run. He ain't in his 70s. He can run.
But my question is this. So we've got Cory Booker. When I say we, in particular, black folks.
Right.
Jasmine Crockett, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett out of the state of Texas, Democrat. Name me three other black, promising black leaders in the Democratic Party that can take us to that position of where I am absolutely comfortable voting as a Democrat in this country as a black person. Give me three other leaders, because I can only think of Jasmine Crockett and Cory Booker right now. Because anybody, and this is not... Please do not take this as ageism.
Is this for now
my
or the
thing
next?
Is
for now or the next segment? Like, you want my answer now or you want it for the next segment?
I want it for the next because I also want to ask you this and I want to clarify something. We got to quit saying, well, Denise, that's ageist. No, it's not. Because here's the thing. There's a social gap right now in terms of how elected officials connect with the voting younger generation. Do you realize, and this is something that people need to really understand, the demographics of this country, focusing on age, millennials, Gen Zers, their population continues at a rapid rate to increase. And the reason why, if you want me to go there, see, the Republican Party, they did their homework. J.D. Vance, they saw a very vulnerable group of younger white men who were saying, I feel like it's all about everybody else but white men. Okay. So we're going to pick a younger white guy to be President Trump's running mate.
Right.
I mean, there are so many things that they did right in terms of getting people to believe, getting certain demographics to believe, oh, this party or this leader or these two people are for me. And that's what the Democratic Party did not do for us.
Because they didn't believe the numbers that were in front of them because they came in with their own agenda. So when you fit everything to fit your agenda, that's what you get.
And it failed. So when we come back to Dr. Ken, I want to hear from your lens, from your perspective, aside from Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, Democratic Congresswoman out of Dallas, Texas, and Senator Cory Booker out of New Jersey, who else do we have in the pipeline? Or not even in the pipeline, just who do we have right now serving our country, whether it's on Capitol Hill, in the House or the Senate, that can bring black people back to the Democratic Party? When we come back, we're going to hear from Dr. Ken. This is The Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered on 620 WTMJ.
We're back. I'm Dr. Ken Harris along with Denise Thomas. Truth Unfiltered here on 620 WTMJ and 101.7 The Truth. You can check us out any Sunday night from 7 to 9 or Monday right here from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can also catch it on Spotify and, well, all the other podcast places. So before the break, you were asking me a question about leadership in the black community as it relates to politics. And I'm going to say something, and I know you're going to argue about it. I don't look at Jasmine Crockett as a leader in the black community politically because I don't see anything substantive that she's done. I like to see, you know, bills you've passed, you know, standing behind leadership when you tried to pass a bill, whether it went through or not, you know. When you're standing in the White House and your bill gets passed or you've come up with some significant written or co-sponsored or co-authored some significant legislation that made an impact on America. That's what I want to see from a national leader. Then you can say, hey, this is what I've done. You know, when you look back at those, and I guess it is ageism, when you look at back at those older and more seasoned politicians, you got, you know, they sponsored, you know, I sponsored like this slew of bills and they may not have made it. I authored these bills. I'm literally working and churning, doing what I'm supposed to do, legislative process. Talking in a committee or talking to your constituents, I get it. That's part of your job. But I need substance.
So you're determining whether or not she's a substantial leader based on what you've seen on television?
No, you're not hearing me. The opposite. I need to see what you're doing legislatively. I need to see the bills you've authored, the bills you've co-sponsored, those things. I need substance.
Okay, when you let me ask you this.
What's her name?
What bills have you seen? What bills have... Give me a political... Or excuse me. Give me a politician who you would deem as substantial or doing their job based on the bills that they've
What I would
passed.
Ask is for you to show me where she should be considered a leader. Because mine is
I'm ready.
I'm listening because for me, I'm using my substance.
Don't flip it on me, Dr. King.
I'm not
you
flipping
said
it on you.
You don't think.
I said she don't think because I haven't seen any. So if you're going to sell me as a leader, show me what you did.
Dr. Ken,
so
okay,
what
I'm asking, before, I'm going to answer your question, but before I answer your question, in terms of what she's done, so if you're going to say that about Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, then I'm asking you first to say, okay, if that's how you measure, if that's your criteria for being a substantial leader, and while you Googling and typing too
I'm
late,
not,
stay focused.
Why don't you stop assuming something and listen, because I missed one name.
Okay, I'll play your game, Dr. Ken. I'm a black woman. I've been playing this game with men and white men all my life, so I'll play
that.
Your game.
It has nothing to
all
do
All right,
with
here
that.
We go.
It's
so
not about being
Jasmine
a woman.
Crockett.
It's not about
Congresswoman
being a woman.
Because you're not answering the first question. I'm asking you if you're qualifying Jasmine Crockett's ability to be a substantial leader,
right?
Which I completely disagree with that she's not. I think that she is. Then I'm asking you to tell me, okay, so in comparison, who would be, who, based on your knowledge and the bills that they passed, are a substantial leader in the House or the Senate?
Okay, I'll play your game. I don't even know if she's still alive. Sheila Jackson Lee? And there's another African-American woman who used to be in Congress.
She's not alive. She passed last year.
And there's another African-American woman, that's who I was trying to look up, who's running for the mayor of Oakland, who used to be a congresswoman, who has substantial work, substantial legislation, having done her job, because that's your job, right? Serving on committees, but also authoring legislation, co-authoring legislation, those types of things. That's what I'm talking about. It ain't got jack to do with her gender, has nothing to do with her race. I'm talking about, are you actually doing your job? And if you are,
what makes you so? What makes you think that she's not?
Because I haven't seen. Because as I said before, I haven't seen anything. If you're going to show me, let me finish. If you're going to show me that you're going to be a leader, then show me what you've done. I haven't seen that. That's all.
The reason why I'm struggling with you saying that you haven't seen that, number one, you don't live in Texas or Dallas, so I wouldn't expect you. She is a she is a black woman in the United States of America, and you need to listen. Okay, you're making all these facial. But
yes,
you need
I
to
can
listen.
Do that. Go ahead.
So, but when someone is trying to communicate, this is why we can't get stuff done. Mm-hmm. Because as much as it's not necessary to be emotional, when someone is trying to make a point and you're over there doing this, it's condescending and it's disrespectful.
And that's how I feel too. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Truth Nation, please do not allow people to tell you that someone is not a substantial leader based on their unwillingness or their disregard, because every bill that Jasmine Crockett has introduced, and that whether it's currently in committee or has passed, is information that is accessible to you. It is public information. And Dr. Ken knows this. You can literally, any elected official that is a member of Congress, there is a website. It is called BillTrack50.com. And you can literally look at any legislator, in any of the 50 states in this country, and see, based on what Dr. Ken said, what they're actually getting done. Now, just so for some background information, U.S. Representative Jasmine Crockett, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who represents District 30 in the state of Texas, which is Dallas. She began office, okay, in 2023. Ain't even been barely 2 years, y'all. She became Congresswoman January 3rd. She was inaugurated in 2023, barely 3 years ago. In her short amount of time, she has, let's see, if I had to, because I'm scrolling down, 97 bills, okay, including supporting the designation of August as Slavery Remembrance Month, a bill to amend the Voting Acts of 1965 to revise the criteria for determining which states and political subdivisions are subject to Section 4. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now, you can literally look at her report card. You can see how she's voted, whether she's voted yay or nay. So providing congressional disapproval under Chapter 8 of Title 5, she voted nay. I mean, you can literally see all the work she is doing based on her roles and responsibilities. You can even see the committees that she serves on. She serves on the House Judiciary Committee, the House Judiciary Committee Immigration Integrity, Security, and Enforcement Subcommittee, the Committee Oversight Subcommittee. I mean, she actually is the number one ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee Oversight Subcommittee. So when you make a very profound statement regarding someone's performance as a leader, and you didn't even take it's 2 seconds to Google in the short amount of time that she's been in office, not even 3 years. This definitely proves that she's getting things done. And I don't agree that she's not a substantial leader. You may not like her delivery, but here's the thing. We need a disruptive leader for the Democratic Party. And she does that. And so going back to my original point, is she substantial? Absolutely. Because if I would have went to this BillTrack50.com and under votes, committees, bills, if there had been three or four or zero, this woman, 97, in a matter of barely 3 years. I'm glad that I don't report to you, because this is one that you'd be the leader that tells me, Denise, you're not a substantial leader. You're not getting anything done. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So again, information that you have access to when you're measuring whether or not someone is a substantial leader.
I did not make the comment that she was a substantial leader. So you brought up her name. So for me to chase down information on her, that's not on me. I don't think she's a substantial leader yet. I've heard nothing other than her committee meetings and things of that nature. So nationally, I think if you ask around, I don't think anybody would think that she's a substantial leader. And that's just my point of view and my parameters. That's it.
You just said that's my point of view, but you said if you ask around. So is it your point of view, or are we talking about asking everybody around? Because we can do a poll.
I don't care. I believe if you ask around, they know of her, but they don't know the work that she's done. That's all I'm saying. It's not an attack, and it's not an attack on black women.
When President Barack Obama ran for president of the United States, did you know the work that he did?
Yes, I did, because I'm from Chicago, and I've done that.
That was my earlier
point.
But time
out. But they
live here in Dallas.
You gonna let me finish? But they also did what? Publicized it. They pushed it around America. They had his coming out in Springfield to run for president and put his record up and all those things. That information was out. It's not out on her. That's all I'm saying. It's not an attack or something or somebody's dragging her. But it's I totally disagree. Completely. Show me. That's all.
I just did.
Thank you.
And you could have done that yourself, but I played your game.
But she wasn't on my radar.
I just showed
she's
you.
She's not on my radar.
So based on what
care.
I just showed you, you still, you don't care. See, that's
she's not on my
Nation.
Radar. Listen, now, listen to the whole comment that somebody makes. I don't care the fact.
Why are you generalizing saying somebody? It's you and I.
Well, you generalized
don't do that.
Earlier. You did that. You generalized about those people and you people who. All right, what else are we going to argue about? Lunch? But anyway, I want to see some. So here's what I'll do. I'll look her up. I'll see what she's done. But again, that's my perspective. That's my opinion. In order to be substantial, we need to know. And if you're going to be on a national, well, let me ask you this before we go to break. Do you think she'll run for president? You think she has the...
Eventually, yes.
Okay. Can she run?
I wouldn't be able to say that, but yes, they. It is obvious that they are positioning her for a trajectory that would lead up to running for POTUS.
So I'm trying to wonder when is the last time.
And when I say I mean the Democratic Party.
When's the last time a person has come from? I'm trying to think. Has someone ever come from the House? I know you've come from a governor, or a senator become president, but has anybody ever come from the House of Representatives?
Lyndon B. Johnson. He is what you call a true career politician. He started as a page, and then he interned for Roosevelt. Then he won.
Then he was vice first, right?
Oh, I thought you were talking about just the trajectory as a whole.
Like when Trump chose J.D. Vance, or when Kamala Harris.
No one has went from House to.
Why is that? So she's gonna have to run for.
I think it's. I mean, ultimately, protocol.
Really?
But that changes, though. I mean, I think ultimately it's just been, you know, hey, this is the process. This is the way it's been done. This is tradition. But I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm just saying that you have to also look at how people vote. So American voters, typically, they're going to say, well, obviously not with this past election, but typically it's, you know, what's been their background. Now, with her being a black woman, oh, yeah, she definitely going to have to go through the proper protocol. And again, I'm not privy to what that is today in 2025, but traditionally you don't go from the House to the White House. Now, speaking of President Barack Obama, it was rapid. He was on the accelerator program because he went from state Senate to U.S. Senate.
Right.
And then he went from there to president.
Right.
Because it's interesting how you say, you know, you were from Chicago and you knew him. And, you know, that's kind of what I was leading with Jasmine Crockett, because I live here in Dallas, Texas. But that today is no excuse, because if you really want to, before you make a statement that whether or not someone's a leader, you have access to go and see what they've done. And at the time when President Barack Obama was being groomed, yeah, they were very intentional about, you know, when he presented at the Democratic National Convention in 2004 and gave that record-breaking speech. When I say record-breaking, I mean in the sense of that is what took him from who is that to that looks like a future president. So, again, I don't think anyone has went from the House to the White House. And I do believe that Jasmine Crockett is being groomed to be a presidential candidate. And I think this country who has viewed straight white men from an image standpoint as the only qualified leaders of this country, with the exception of President Barack Obama. Think about that. This country is almost 250 years old. This country will be 250 years old next year. We've had 47 presidents. And out of 47 presidents over 250 years, there has only been one person of color that has served in the White House, and that is Barack Obama. And for us to always make it quick to say, well, this person is not a substantial leader, when you got people over the course of 47 presidencies that have yet, I'll stop. I'll get off my soapbox. But this is the reason why we are where we at, America. Because we still, as Black people, do not have enough self-love to where when we bring up certain individuals, we want to go to, I don't know anything about them. I haven't seen. We didn't know anything about J.D. Vance, but yet the majority of America voted for him. We got to still, that's the thing with Black people. Why don't we have the same, it's like we don't love ourselves and thus we don't love our people. And then we go to this, well, I don't know. This country continues to vote for people who either they don't know or aren't qualified. And then we wonder why we get the short end of the stick. Because if we thought like them and loved ourselves more than any other race, like every other race loves themselves more than any other race, we would be a whole like triple digit percentage ahead. But we always got to prove when it comes to us. Other communities, mm-mm. But you know, it's been working so well for us, Dr. Ken. So we'll keep showing you and proving to you. Whereas with other races and genders, they don't have to even give you a quarter of what you demand of us.
Are you talking about
whether or not they're a leader.
Are you saying that's what I do?
I'm saying what I'm saying. So however you're, I'm going to play Dr. Ken. However you're interpreting it, I said.
Well, that's 100% false. Completely and totally. But we'll make assumptions later. You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I guess that was as unfiltered as you can get. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris and Denise Thomas.
We are back. You are listening to The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. You can check out Dr. Ken Harris's show every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris. And you can hear me pretty much when you hear me. But you can definitely tune in always every Sunday and Monday when we broadcast The Truth Unfiltered on both WTMJ 620 AM and 101.7 The Truth here on The Truth. So when we talk about tariffs, it's not just an economic headline. We come back on the second hour. This is definitely a kitchen table issue because at the end of the day, Black folks, we got to talk about how tariffs are not just tariffs, they're taxes. Because when prices rise, although they rise for everybody, Black Americans often feel the pressure first, the most, and the longest. So we come back, we are going to dive into, Dr. Ken and I are going to dive into how Trump's tariffs will impact Black Americans. This is The Truth Unfiltered with DT and Dr. Ken Harris. Stay locked in. It's going to be a great, exciting, and you know Dr. Ken and I are going to fight again. Second hour. Stay locked in. We'll be back.